Transition Radio from San Diego, exploring the world of change with you. Are you ready to take your life to a new level? Join transition coaches and best-selling authors Paula Shaw and Kendi Foster as they explore strategies to navigate changes in health, relationships, money, career, and so much more. Get the information and tools to make your life smoother, easier, and more productive. And now, your hosts, Paula Shaw and Kendi Foster.
Welcome to Transition Radio, where you are live with Ken Foster and Paula Shaw. And today
Some
people are live. Yeah, some people are.
And we are alive, last time I checked.
I am
and so
feeling
is Michelle.
Alert and alive. I don't know about you. So,
You're looking good, too, especially considering what you did last week. Share a little bit of that with the folks.
Well, it's great about the victory, but I always like to start with the pain, because what I did was I trained. Last year, I qualified for Team USA in Miami, and to represent USA in my age group at a triathlon event in Penticton, British Columbia this year. So I trained for a year, waking up at 5 a.m, 4 a.m, getting out and riding bikes and swimming in cold oceans. And, I set the goal, set the intention, and then this week, last week, I went to the International Triathlon Union, which is a union of about 167 triathlon events around the world.
Wow.
And I represented USA, and I think I did pretty good. I placed in the top 10.
That's huge.
So it was pretty good.
Listen, the fact that you got in a cold lake in Canada and you're still alive, that's impressive to me.
Well, fortunately for me, the lake wasn't too cold, actually.
Oh, really?
It was a really beautiful condition.
Oh,
the lake was, calm
lucky.
That day.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, we were just blessed. It was a blessed day.
Oh, fabulous. And, so the whole event was triathlon, is that correct?
It was. There were, there were 3,600 athletes from around the world. So they, you know, France and Italy and Belgium and Germany and Brazil and, you know, all over the world, Tokyo, Japan. It was really amazing. And just to give you a perspective, the Olympics generally have about 2,500 or so athletes. This one had 1,000 more athletes.
Whoa.
Just to give you the point of view there.
All doing triathlon.
All doing a triathlon. So there's 5 different triathlon events. The one I competed in is something called Aqua Bike. And that is a 2-mile swim early in the morning. Yay. And then it's a
That is words you'll never hear from me, Michelle.
And then it's a 75-mile bike ride.
Oh,
right.
My God, even worse.
But it was a beautiful experience.
Did you do that all in one day?
Wow.
You get out of the water after swimming 2 miles.
To do that. Yeah.
Wow.
So
I'm impressed.
Yeah, so
I'm proud to be of service with you.
If you're not in studio, you won't get to see the medal I got.
But show the folks on Facebook Live,
Facebook and Twitter out there. You know, it's well earned, and it didn't come easy. I'll tell you that. Yeah, so
proud to be sitting here at the desk with you, sir.
Well, I'm always proud to be with you too.
Oh,
so,
thank you.
It's great. And, you know, I think the reason that we even want to bring something like that up is our individual accomplishments. It's that, I, like everybody else, just started out with a goal, you know, and it was a goal to stay healthy and fit and to do something that was a little outside my reach. In fact, my goal is always to glorify my Creator. And the way I do that is by doing something that I thought I could never do, and bringing out that brilliance, those gifts, those talents, and those abilities that we all have latent within us, so that we can bring out something that will help better our not only our state, but the state of humanity and mankind. You know, I believe, and this show is all about being a service, and there's a lot of ways to be in service. And one of our shows, you know, we've talked about, you know, you can be a service just by putting a smile on your face, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So,
and being of service takes us to a whole different level vibrationally. Mm-hmm. You know, being of service, in fact, in my grief book, I talk about that as sort of a final phase when people go through all those other phases of grief, from the shock through the, finally being introspective, feeling your feelings, taking care of yourself, all of that. At the highest level, what I suggest to people is find somebody you can serve. Find a way you can serve, because being of service takes you out of yourself, helps you to feel better, raises your vibration to a happier level, and from there, all things are possible.
I think that's right, and I just want to plus that, too. I want to say this. If you haven't been of service, now is a great time to be of service. And service, there's a lot of ways to be of service. Of course, you can contribute financially. You can contribute volunteer time.
Mm-hmm.
You can start an organization that can be of service.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole bunch of ways. But whatever it is for you, I challenge you to do something like I did, okay? And do something that you've never done before that will take you out of your comfort zone, that will, at the end of it, if you visualize the end, you will probably have grown. You have become something mm-hmm. that you have hope to become,
mm-hmm.
right? Because I think at the end of life, isn't that true? You know, it's not about what we did. It's about who we became. And that's
well
really
put.
That's really what we want to focus on,
yeah.
you know, when we do something. Now, a lot of you, there's hundreds of you or thousands of you listening right now that maybe it won't do that. And why is that? It's because your mindset is one that you are thinking in ways that are limiting, right? So if you're limiting yourself, you're thinking, no, I can't do that. This isn't for me. Oh, somebody else can do that. Well, I'm going to tell you something. If you're listening to the show and you're tuning into this right now, you're being called to do something differently. There is no coincidences in life. And this is a show that is there for you to step up in service in ways that you've never been. If you don't heed my voice, that's okay. You'll get it again.
Mm-hmm.
But it'll come to you because you're being called to step into something greater, like we all are,
mm-hmm.
right?
And I'll bet what you just described is part of the story we're going to hear from Michelle John a little later, because that's how these things begin. It's even like writing our books, Ken. I don't know if you had this experience, but I'll bet you did. And I tell people all the time when they tell me, I want to write a book. And I say to them, listen, from the moment you birth the idea until you actually birth the book, you are haunted by it.
Right.
It is no
right.
small feat, right? From the minute your goal is, I'm going to write this book, it haunts you every minute until it's done. And so I think whenever we're called to do something more, it's like we can't not do it and still be comfortable.
Boy, isn't that the truth? And, you know, since I'm in the middle of writing this book, that's like the never-ending book right now. This is my seventh one. I want to say that the one thing that stops everybody from writing a book or being of service or stepping into something greater is lack of concentration, lack of focus,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So if there's this lack of focus, and it's just amazing how many, for instance, I just did the triathlon, right?
Yeah.
How many obstacles came in my way along the way that would stop me
yeah.
from going to the World Triathlon Championship?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, at the last week, I can't, there were obstacles I hadn't anticipated that could have stopped anybody from showing up to that event.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But that, you know, what I did is just say, you know what? I'm going to keep focusing on the goal. Keep going. I'm trusting deeply in my Creator to help me get there. And I'm going to get there. I don't know how I'm going to get there, but I'm going to keep taking like one step at a time.
Right.
One stroke at a time, and I'll get there. And I think that's a lot of people like that.
It's a great lesson for life too, Ken, because a lot of times when we're going through something tough, whether it's emotional or financial or physical or whatever, one step at a time is the only way we can get through it. And if we try to take on too much too fast, or think beyond this moment, because life only happens to us a moment at a time. We, though, we grab moments 5 months, 5 years, you know, down the road, and we're pulling it all into this moment. And then we go, oh my God, I can't do it, because we get overwhelmed. But one stroke, one step, one thing at a time.
And then we look at what's working, what's not working, and where we can improve.
Exactly.
I'm laughing because when you're saying one step at a time, I'm thinking about those mornings I woke up at 5 a.m, right? Or 4 a.m, that's even better. And it's like, okay, that in the beginning, that didn't work because I don't know about you, I like to sleep in, you know? So I had to think, well, what, you know, how am I going to change that? You know, and part of it was with you and I've talked about before, how we set our intention in going to sleep. But the other thing was how I woke up. And I was waking up, you know, thinking what's not working? Why am I having to get out of bed? Oh, this is terrible. But that's not how I wanted to wake up. So I switched it. I said, okay, I'm going to wake up and say to myself, I'm alert and ready. And then I said, okay, now what am I going to focus on? I'm going to focus on what I'm grateful for. Mm-hmm. And I started that habit. Every morning. You know, it didn't, in the first, it didn't take. It was like my other little side of my mind's going,
oh, you mean you were human?
You know, what's wrong with you?
Are you
human?
Go
back to bed. But
who are you kidding?
But
we know we don't want to be
up. Focus and that concentration eventually started to work. Mm-hmm. And I started waking up alert and ready and feeling good.
Yeah, you know, our guest last week, Kate Allgood, who coaches athletes to peak performance, was saying this very thing. She said, the first two ingredients that really matter in creating the performance you want, confidence and focus.
Right.
So the focus piece is huge.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to hear how she dealt with that, our wonderful guest coming up, Michelle John, because she had to do some serious focusing and there had to be some confidence for her to create what she's created. So I'm really excited to talk to her in our next segment.
Yep, coming right up. Okay, we'll be right back.
All righty.
We'll be back with Transition Radio and your hosts, Paula Shaw and Candy Foster. Would you like to help someone in need to move from poverty to prosperity? Stars of Courage, a 501c3 nonprofit, is looking for established life coaches with experience in education and career mentorship to build confidence and create clear paths to success. Join our team of experienced coaches in a wide variety of fields, equipped with warm hearts with a passion for lifting up those in need. Our Stars of Courage. Find out how you can make a difference at starsofcourage.org. That's starsofcourage.org. We're back with Transition Radio, exploring the world of change. And now here's your hosts, Paula Shaw and Ken D. Foster.
And welcome back to Transition Radio. So happy to have you here with us today. We're talking today about being of service. And we have in studio with us today somebody who has been greatly, greatly of service in her lifetime. And we are very excited to introduce her to you. Ken, tell them all about her.
I sure will. And I'm excited to introduce her because I got to go down and see her operation, meet some of the volunteers and see what she's doing. So it was a great experience. And my organization also is involved with hers. We'll talk about that later. But let me introduce Michelle John. Michelle John was the founding CEO of two successful companies in 1991 and 93 before she became the president and executive director of New Gateway Solutions. She has worked in various management capacities for over 32 years, including managing a classroom as a teacher for 15 years. She and her husband and daughter served as missionaries to Trinidad in 2002 and 2006 during a hiatus from teaching high school. She founded New Gateway Solutions Corporation in January of 2014 and has successfully engaged a team of unpaid college interns, no small feat, and volunteers to assist in accomplishing the organization's goal. She's in San Diego County currently and eventually will be nationwide, alleviating poverty and homelessness one job at a time. Michelle, thank you for joining us. Thank you for being here live in studio with us.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's so a pleasure.
It's our pleasure so, so greatly, Michelle, because what you're doing is huge. You know, I don't know if all our listeners know this, but San Diego has a huge homeless population. That's correct, mm-hmm. right, Michelle?
That's it.
So would you tell us, how is New Gateway Solutions helping that to shift that problem or help those people?
Well, you know, when
moving that up a little.
When someone becomes homeless, or at least a homeless population, there are a lot of resources that are being used to try to solve that problem.
Mm-hmm.
Our passion and our work and what we believe is that we should start when they lose their job, when that crisis in their life takes place.
Mm-hmm.
When they are traveling on the road to homelessness, mm-hmm. there are no resources, no help available to them. The wow. people that come to us, they say to us, oh, I've been to the career centers, I've been to the library, I've been everywhere, and there's nobody. I've been to the churches, and we work along with church partners, and very often the churches then send them to us. And then they tell us that, you know, we've tried everything. And as I look, I go to the various organizations that are helping the mm-hmm. homeless, their response to me has always been, well, they have to be homeless first.
So you mean there's like an official condition, homeless?
Yes, they have to be homeless first before we can help them, because the resources, the funding that is available to the chronically homeless.
Oh.
And so these organizations have no choice. They can only help the people once they are already in that condition.
Oh my gosh.
We want to help them from the point of the crisis, from the point of the job loss. And so that we can prevent the homelessness.
That's exactly right. And that's interesting that you've identified that that gap. Like, yeah,
mm-hmm.
it's a real gap in thinking, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you've solved that gap. And let me just ask you, how did you get involved in this? What happened?
Well, I was working with a big organization, and in the midst of the recession, and little by little started to see people that we worked with disappear.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
And after a while, it was like, what's happening? They were my friend, you know? I mean, well, what's happening with this person's life? And then I'd try to follow up on that person and find out that they never were able to get a job at the level. And I mean, everybody knows the stories of the recession.
Right.
And so the thought of this organization started then. But then after a while, I was actually in teaching at the time, and I wanted to do something. I wanted to be passionate about what I did.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to do something that made a difference in life. And so I just started, started praying that God would show me what that thing was.
Yeah.
And then as time went on, this started to become clearer and clearer, you know, and the very first person that we helped, it took about 3 hours of talking to that person before they took about 2 hours before they opened up to us.
Wow.
I mean, they're so ashamed of their situation mm-hmm. of yeah. being, you yeah. know, almost homeless and having to ask for help that, you know, I mean, we have an image of homeless people is, you know, having the signs up, they're looking for a handout. You know, the people that we see are not like that at all. They are the average people that used to work, used to be contributing mm-hmm. members of society. And then all of a sudden they find themselves, whether it because of a divorce or abusive situation or a family that fell apart or loss of job, they find themselves in a situation where they're facing homelessness.
Wow.
And they're afraid for people to know.
Yeah.
They go through a grieving process. And so this gentleman we talked to, after we took, he realized how much we really loved on him. And then he realized, wow, these people really do care. And then once he started talking, oh my goodness, it was revelation of what this man had been going through. And we were able to find him a job. He's still in that job three years later.
So that is what you actually do, Michelle. People can come to New Gateway Solutions and before they're homeless, and you have connections? How does that work? You have connections in different job areas, or is it interviewing for them, or through, how do they actually work with you, I guess is what I'm saying.
Well, we have two routes to economic stability.
Uh-huh.
Go to work for someone else, and in some cases, we would also help people who've decided that they want to start a business. So we have both those routes.
Okay.
And then for those people that are starting, that are going back to work, we help them with their resume. We help them with interviewing prep. We are trying to create a network of employers where we can connect them, because some people have gaps in employment that, mm-hmm. that need to be addressed. And so we have a lot of job leads. We have a job board, and we try to connect them to employers as opposed to them just applying online and hoping for the best.
I see. So if some of our listeners are employers who might be able to give some of your people a job, would you want them to just contact you?
Oh, yes. They are our best friends.
Oh,
that
would be
great. Employers working with us,
uh-huh.
It is extremely difficult.
And how do they reach you?
mjohn@newgateway.org would be the best way, or our website.
M as in Michelle, John, J-O-H-N, at newgateway.org.
And then our website is N as in new,
mm-hmm.
G as in gateway, S as in solutions,
uh-huh.
and C as in corporation, ngsc.org.
Beautiful. Great. Because I think there must be people out there who you'd be solving a problem for them as well, and they could be a resource for you.
Right. Some of our people just need a hand up. I mean, it's not mm-hmm. a handout. They need help to start. They want to work. They're motivated to work,
mm-hmm.
you know, and just for someone to give them a chance is all they need. They will be, some of them become the best employees ever.
Wow. And what kind of skill sets typically do people have when they come into your organization?
We have people from master's degrees. I even have someone
wow.
that has two master's degrees and is working on a PhD
mm-hmm.
that is in that situation. She's just yeah. got out of job. And we have all the way to those people who never even finished high school.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So we have the whole.
So it doesn't, it crosses all socioeconomic,
exactly.
Educational lines.
Exactly.
You know, I know that there's, I forgot the number now, but in San Diego, it's somewhere around 15 to 18% of the population is living under the federal guidelines for poverty. Right now,
wow,
in this
right.
moment. And I think most major cities, it's between 12 and 15%. And this can be college students all the way up to people that are chronically homeless. But in between that is a big gap. And those are the people that really want to work. They're looking for something new. They
exactly.
want to lift themselves out. And mm-hmm. they just don't know how. And New Gateway Solutions is one of the solutions.
Yeah, what we say is that we will hold your hand mm-hmm. for as long as it takes.
Yeah.
Now, you don't actually provide housing for them, right? You're actually working with them to get a job. Is that correct, Michelle?
When we started working, we thought that that was it.
Mm-hmm.
But as we started having more and more people either at the brink of homelessness or homeless already, I mean, we have quite a few people, about 40% of our people are already homeless.
Wow.
We realized that getting a job was not enough. We had to get them housing. We had to get them gas cards, bus passes, mm-hmm. transportation, a way to get to the interviews and get to the work. And so what we did is we connected with an organization called the Regional Task Force for the Homeless, and they've assigned us a housing navigator. And that housing navigator will talk to them about their situation, and they will connect them to the housing that's available within San Diego. The various organizations that provide housing. The problem is that there are less beds than there are people who mm-hmm. need the beds. And so housing in San Diego is a problem. We have, as an organization, we have talked about owning our own properties to help people transition from the job place into their own permanent positions, put permanent housing, but that also is a really big in San Diego right now, investment. So some people have ended up living in their cars while they they're working.
Wow. You know, we've gotten so into your story, I can hardly wait to hear more. So, but we got to take a little break, so we'll be right back.
We'll be back with Transition Radio and your hosts, Paula Shaw and Candy Foster.
Baby boomers, are you prepared? In a recent study from Transamerica, 45% of baby boomers are expecting a financial decrease in their standard of living after retirement. If you live into your 90s, you can go without a paycheck for 30 years. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton from Sexton Advisor Group. With almost 20 years in the business, I can answer your retirement questions. Get your complimentary retirement guide by calling 1-800-560-2611. That's 1-800-560-2611. Or go to SextonAdvisorGroup.com. That's S-E-X-T-O-N advisorgroup.com.
Is living in today's fast-paced world making you feel stressed and out of balance? Are anxiety, sleeplessness, depression, lack of focus, or weight gain robbing you of your relationship and your energy? If you're ready for change, you need to call Paula Shaw at Rebalancing You. Paula helps you identify and eliminate self-sabotaging thinking and behavior. Using a wide variety of mind-body techniques, she provides her clients with the most effective processes for their specific needs. To book a rebalancing session with Paula, call 858-480-9234. That's 858-480-9234.
We're back with Transition Radio, exploring the world of change. And now here's your hosts, Paula Shaw and Ken D. Foster.
Welcome back to Transition Radio, where today it's all about service. And our guest is Michelle John from New Gateway Solutions. And we are talking about the homeless and some of the solutions that are available here locally and soon to be nationally. Michelle, you have such an amazing organization. I'm wondering, though, how do you fund this organization? What happens here?
Yeah. Where does the money come from to do all these amazing things that you're trying to do for people?
Well, our funding, that is our biggest challenge. We are currently funded by individual donors, monthly donors, and we are doing a lot, very, very, very little. Like I said, we use unpaid interns, college interns. They're just super helpful, but they come for a semester and then they're gone. So it is really important for us to have paid permanent staff if we are going to take this to the next level. And so that means that we would have to get some a whole lot more funding or more monthly donors.
And where do people, if they would like to contribute to this fabulous organization, how do they do that?
The best way is to send a check or do a bill pay through your bank to New Gateway Solutions at 49 3rd Avenue, Chula Vista.
49 3rd Avenue, Chula Vista. And that was New Gateway Solutions.
Right. And or they can do a recurring donation through our website.
Okay. Can they do a one-time donation on the website too?
And they can do a one-time donation.
Okay, good.
As well.
And that website again, just for those of you that would love to contribute today, it's N as in Nancy, G as in Grape, S as in Sam, and C as in Cat .org. NGSC.org. So yeah, thanks for that, Michelle.
Funding, I think, is probably always the hardest thing.
It is.
With any nonprofit. And with what you described to us in the first segment that you're providing for people, not only connection to employment, but you're connected with housing, bus passes, gas cards, all these things you were talking about.
Rental assistance.
It's so comprehensive what you're doing. It's really fabulous.
Sometimes we have to help people after they have gotten into an apartment because their income is just not making it. It takes a little while to transition to really being able to take care of yourself.
Sure. You know? Food.
Most of the people, yes, food. We have partnered with the food bank and we provide food for them as well. Most of the people that are homeless, the commonality that we've seen is that they don't have a support system. They're basically in doing life on their own. And that's why it is so difficult for them to get back on their feet.
So you mean like family, live in another state or something like that?
Exactly.
They're alone.
Or homeless as well.
Right.
You know, or they don't have, they're alone. They don't have family.
These people that you're helping, I'm curious, Michelle, do you find that a large percentage of them have mental or psychological illnesses, or has it just been bad occurrences in their life or lack of luck and being able to have that job that keeps them going?
You know, there is a percentage of homeless people that have mental illnesses.
Mm-hmm.
We have been working more with there are systems for that. There are resources for that, but we've been working more with those people who are not mentally ill, who are not on drugs or alcohol, who are not dealing with post-incarceration or anything like that. We're trying to help the average person that there's no program for them anywhere. I mean, if you have lost your job and you're about to lose your home, who do you go to?
Exactly. Well, you know, one of the things that I loved is that we are going to work together, your organization and the organization that I represent, which is called Stars of Courage, which it brings life coaches to people in need. And they can come into that program. They can stay up to 3 years. They have a coach once a week, a professionally trained coach. Mm-hmm. And so between they can come in and get a job, they can get a coach, they can get housing, they can get food, they can get a lot of things. But, you know, the lacking ingredient here, you know, we have the solutions, right? We know how to do this, but we do need the funding from the community.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, even if it's $10 a month to New Gateway Solutions, that $10 a month will help Michelle. That's $120 a year. That makes a difference.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're somebody that would like to see an alleviation of poverty in this country, this is a great organization to contribute to.
And once we get this model done well in San Diego, now we want to be able to package that up and take it into any city in the United States.
That's right.
To help all
That's
of the
fabulous.
Population.
Yeah.
Fabulous.
And so, you know, I love what you're doing because part of it is what you're practicing is exactly what the homeless don't have,
right.
And that is collaboration. And that is finding partners, finding volunteers, finding individuals that collaborate together. Isn't that that's the missing link, isn't
it? Exactly. The support system. We're trying to build a network around them.
Right.
The churches, the business partners, the employers, you know, other nonprofits that may have resources that we don't have.
Yes.
You know, all of a sudden someone who was previously without support, have no family, single person, now all of a sudden they've come within a network of support that they didn't have before.
Right, right. You know, everybody wants to belong. And if you're out there doing life alone, that's tough. That's really hard.
It's really tough.
Yeah, and you know it's interesting because we have so many homeless in this nation right now, and of course around the world, but the solutions are here. That's the key. You know,
and the thing is, people don't see the newly homeless.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the ones we see.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. When you hear about the homeless problem,
right?
But you don't see people as they come into homelessness.
That's right.
That's a really important point because I think you have dispelled the myth today that it's just an alcoholic or an addict or some mentally ill person that's in the streets. Yeah. You know, it's people who have fallen on hard times.
It's somebody that's going through a transition.
Mm-hmm.
They're going through a transition, and they're going through a transition for a reason. And it's not always a negative thing.
Right.
Sometimes people have to go through a deep challenge. in order to find their own brilliance, find out who they are, to step into their own power, to let go of some disempowering thoughts and beliefs and ways of showing up, mm-hmm. old habits that haven't worked for them. Mm-hmm. You know, it's life is showing us through our own results, are we on track or are we not on track?
And it's not only individuals. We work with some families as well. We have single moms. There's a single mom of 6 kids, a single mom of 4 kids, a single mom of 3 kids, one, that they're all homeless.
Wow.
Or one living in shelters, living in, you know, transitional type housing. But families, what happens to these kids? We've talked about that.
These kids,
and I'm talking about teenage age kids. How do you help them prepare for life?
Right.
When mm-hmm. they've been living on the streets. You know, having to worry about where their next meal is coming from or how are they going to take care of themselves.
And the trauma and the loss. You know, we were talking earlier about the grief that these people must be experiencing because there are losses on so many levels in what you've described to us. You know, loss of faith in the American dream, loss of the idea
that
I would have identity, shelter, food, a consistent place, you know, to be, to sleep, to feel safe every night.
Well, you know, I know with Michelle's organization, they have individuals there that will believe in these individuals until they can believe in themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They will have the resources they need to be able to stabilize themselves so that they can start changing their habits, changing how they're thinking. Mm-hmm. You know, in my mind, we don't have a homelessness crisis. We have a thinking crisis,
right?
And we mm-hmm. have a distribution of resource crisis. Mm-hmm. So when you can fix both of those, you can help them with, you know, here's better ways to think, better ways to act, better ways to do life. Mm-hmm. And here are some resources we can help you with. Then we can lift people up. And that's what she's doing. And I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And I'm sure, well, I don't know if you ever told us, what was there a moment when you just knew, Michelle, that you had to create new gateway solutions? Or was it a slow build as you were watching different things happen?
It was a slow build, and it was a walk by faith. And there have been times when I have been like, what am I doing? Should I even continue doing this? And every single time that happened, mm-hmm. somebody would walk through the door and say, I am in this crisis. Can you help me? I've gone everywhere else.
Wow. Well, Michelle, it's been a pleasure interviewing you. I want our listeners to know the website one more time. So why don't you give that to them where they can connect with you and
contribute.
Hopefully. Yes, that would be nice.
Do you need volunteers as well as money?
Yes, we need volunteers.
All right, good to know.
We need volunteer resume writers, mentors, maybe someone who can start a support group for us. Mm-hmm. And we want to talk to you about, I want to talk to you more about that as well.
Okay.
Because just to get people talking when they've come from a point of trying to handle life themselves, it is a transition just to even get them to talk.
Absolutely.
You know?
So the website again is the NG, go ahead.
Yeah, NGSC. .org. N as in new, G as in gate, S as in solutions, and C as in corporation, ngsc.org.
Great.
Thank you so
Be
much.
Be sure
Michelle.
You all go there, contribute, volunteer, give to this wonderful organization. Thank you, Michelle. What a joy to have you today.
Thank you for having me.
You're so welcome. We're so blessed to have you here, Michelle. Thank you. And coming up next is Smart Money with Steve Sexton.
We'll be back with Transition Radio and your hosts, Paula Shaw and Kendi Foster.
There's a question many of us ask ourselves when we are grieving. When will this pain ever end? Life transition coach and grief recovery specialist Paula Shaw wants you to know there is light at the end of the tunnel. In her new best-selling book, Paula gives you information and practical exercises you can use right away in your recovery process, including breathing methods, the emotional freedom technique, energy psychology work, and many other healing tools. Grief, when will this pain ever end? Available now on Amazon.com.
We're back with Transition Radio, exploring the world of change. And now, here's your hosts, Paula Shaw and Ken D. Foster.
Welcome back to Transition Radio, to our Smart Money segment with Steve Sexton of the Sexton Advisory Group. And I actually have a personal story to tell today about Steve Sexton. Ladies and gentlemen, this is truly one of the finest people on the planet. And I want you to know that last week, Steve spent a couple of hours meeting with my parents. My dad's 92, my mother's 88, and they recently got a settlement from an accident and wanted to do something smart with their money. And so I said, I know exactly who you need to talk to. And my dad, I have to say, I was pretty proud of him, Steve. You know, he had a lot of questions ready, didn't he? Mm-hmm. And he'd done some homework on the internet. He had printed some things out he wanted to talk to Steve about. And Steve was, and by the way, also brought my son Casey along, who has been doing a good job of creating a little savings account of his own and wanted to know some smart things to do with that money. And Steve was not only incredibly smart and gave them such great ideas, you were so gracious and so gentle and so caring. And that is what I really want our listeners to know about you, that you're not just a smart guy when it comes to money. You're a good guy. And I really mean that with all my heart. I'm just trying not to make myself cry here.
Thank you. Thank you.
When we left, my parents both went, he's such a good man. He is such a good guy. And they felt so safe with you. You didn't make them feel like they were stupid because they didn't know the answers to all those questions, because who does? I certainly didn't.
Oh, no.
I mean, you know, your expertise has come over quite a while here, and you definitely have it. And it was so helpful, I can't tell you.
Well,
so
thank you.
So helpful.
Thank you, thank
so
you.
So you are, I think part of what you do in your work is that you are of service. It isn't just you've got a product to sell and you're hustling somebody. That's just not you at all, right?
No, no. You have to understand how something fits in to somebody else's life, finances, because money, if you have it to invest, you have to give it a job. What is that job going to do for you? Is it going to create income? Is it going to accumulate for some purpose down the road, house, take care of medical expenses in the future, what have you? It's important to understand those things first. Plus how somebody looks at money, okay? Mm-hmm. So, you know what, one of the conversations we had is about that Bitcoin multi-level marketing thing that you were invited to by one of your friends and then found out it really wasn't going to work out. Mm-hmm. And you know what, people have a lot of misconceptions because they have some really smart people selling them stuff like that.
Yes.
And if they sit down and talk with somebody who understands how the world of money works, they can realize that, oh my God, this isn't going to work for me. Mm-hmm. Or, you know what, it might work for me, but it's not going to get me to where I'm going to go based off what my comfort level with the risk is.
Right.
When I need income, you know, we also talked about gold. You know what? Your folks wanted some income. Mm-hmm. How are you going to spend the gold to get you income? It just doesn't work.
Right.
And on top of that, if the value of gold goes down for some reason, oh, then it's a lot less. And, you know, when you're in a position where you can't afford to lose it,
right,
wow, it might be the wrong place.
So, or a position where you don't have a lot of time maybe to wait it out till it comes back up.
Oh, yeah.
That was another really wise thing that you brought up. There were so many things, you know, because you're so right, Steve. There are so many products out there. I think we talked about annuities. We talked about mutual funds. We talked about the stock market. And if you don't understand the pros and cons of all of those different things and the amount of time you need to be able to invest to make it worthwhile, it's very confusing.
Oh, yeah. You know what? There's a lot of people that, you know, your mom and dad's age, and they look at certain accounts and they, you know, I asked them, I said, hey, you're going to be in this for 3 years. Think of what could happen in 3 years. Mm-hmm. Are you comfortable being in 3 years without getting your money back?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have enough money set aside in order to cover emergencies or other things?
Right.
Is the interest rate that you're going to receive for the time that you have it worthwhile to you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What are the other options? You know, sometimes it's just better to have things in cash. It's, you know, just kind of the way it is. And sometimes it's better to have something to take, earn a little bit of interest from.
Yeah.
But again, it really depends on the individual situation that mm-hmm. makes life work.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't help somebody ask questions that they don't think or know to ask just because they don't have the experience, and it doesn't matter if they're 25, 35, 55, or 92 like your dad, or 88 like your mom,
mm-hmm.
It's just, you know what, that's where you become of service. I've met with a lot of people that I've done nothing with just because I've asked questions and they realize it's the wrong thing to do.
Yeah.
And I'm good with that because I've got a lot of friends and I have clients too, but I have a lot of friends that I said, you know what, this might not be a good fit for you and you probably shouldn't move forward with it, or you know what? And they're like, okay, thanks.
Yeah.
They didn't realize I said no.
To get on, that's the thing, to get honest education about these things from somebody is so rare. And I think that's really a beautiful part of what you do. And I also love that sort of holistic way you look at everything. Like, I remember I said to you, well, what's the smartest thing for them to do, Stephen? You first thing you said was, well, we have to look at what your life looks like. What do you want to create? What do you want to have? You know, what kind of income do you want to be accessible in a moment's notice? So you look at the whole picture. You don't just advise one thing, or there's not just one product you sell, so you make everybody fit into that product.
No, I think you have to understand where somebody is in their life and work with them to create a strategy that best fits them. And then you have to find the product that fits that strategy like a glove.
Yeah.
And once you do that, you know what? People understand, you know, the strategy and then how the product works. So then go sleep well at night, because that's really what it's all about.
Right. Right, exactly.
There is a piece there that I want to talk about with you, Steve. I think there are a lot of people out there that are in investments right now that they don't feel comfortable with, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they think that they're optimistically hopeful that this product or service that they've purchased will move up, mm-hmm. right? And they'll make money, or, you know, but there's a lot of things that just aren't going to move up. Right. So how do you deal with those people? What do you do?
You know what? One of the things that we love to do is we have written income plans. I mean, written out, totally written out. You know what? You know what your income is. And then we stress test it. So, you know, sometimes we come across people and they said, you know what? Why don't you let us stress test your income plan? You know, your advisor has a written income plan. Why don't you bring it in? We'll use it as a foundation. And you know what? Some people do, some people don't. The people who do and they bring it in just want to make sure. Sometimes, hey, it's done very well, perfectly to the T. And then other times we look at it and they go, they can see right after we do it, oh my God, this isn't going to work. Now I understand why this wasn't a good fit for me. Or because of my need for income to cover health at this point in my life, this could be completely derailed by what I did now. Uh-huh. It's that compound effect. So it's important to have your retirement plan stress tested. And hopefully you have somebody that has created a written retirement plan for you. So you know what? You can have somebody take it to somebody else and have it stress tested.
And that's really good, because some people are stress testing it on their own. They're already stressed out and they don't know what to do. They're sitting listening to us. I've already done my stress test. This isn't working for me, but I don't want to lose anything either.
So. Steve, one of the things I really wanted you to talk about today also, you are being of service in another capacity to your brother.
Yes.
And if you could share with our listeners his story and what you're doing about that, I would love that.
Well, my brother Ed, he's 48. He's got, you know, he's married. He lives in Warsaw, Indiana. He's got two middle school kids, Frank and Charlie. He's been diagnosed with stage 4
lymphoma.
It's metastatic melanoma. It's in his lungs, it's in the bones in his pelvis, his spine, his back, and he's got the bones of an 85-year-old. And basically, they've been tight for a long time, and it's one of those things where when he should have went to the doctors, he used that money to take care of the kids like any father would.
Mm-hmm.
And as such, he's at a point right now where, you know what, if the medication they're providing him isn't working, he's, you know, we're not going to be with us in 6 months to a year. So what we've done is we set up a GoFundMe page, and it's just for Ed's medical and expenses. You know what? Things are really tight. They need help for medical bills, mortgages. You know, my brother, you know, and he's got the highest IQ in our family, but he loves welding. That's his, he just loves that welding stuff. He's at a point where he can't do any more welding. They just have him at a desk. He's been on the medication for about 2 weeks, but he has to work, you know, 50, 60 hours a week just to make ends meet. And you know what? They're going to give him unlimited time off, but there's no overtime. So you know what? We're trying to do a GoFundMe page. It's just, if you go to GoFundMe, it's Ed's Medical and Expenses. Okay, you'll see a picture of them in their, all their Boy Scout uniforms. He helped his son just complete his Eagle project, and hopefully he's here to see that happen. You know what? We've raised just under $7,000. And our goal is 50 because we know he's probably going to end up on disability because things will probably get worse before they get better. Right now, the community is beginning to help out, where his wife has been able to get a next step up type job. So she gets an extra hour per day and an extra dollar per hour. So that adds a little bit more to the budget, but it's still not enough. And family's helping out. So we just need some help from my brother, Ed. And it's just Ed at Ed's Medical and Expenses. Is where you want to go on?
Well, I know, Steve, and I went to the...
GoFundMe.com.
Okay, say it again, Ed's...
Ed's Medical and Expenses. At GoFundMe.com.
GoFundMe.com. Okay.
And I really want to encourage all our listeners to go to that page. And even if it's $10, every single bit will help Ed.
You know what? Some people have already given $10. We had somebody give $8 in a prayer. And you know what? That is just, you know, means more to me in the world. We've had some people give $1,000, and that's very nice anonymously. So we're, you know what? We're just very thankful and grateful for whatever we can to get. Help out my brother.
Well, I went to the page and I saw, you know, Ed's picture and the family. And if you've seen that beautiful picture of the family and his wife and children, if that doesn't move you, I don't know what does. You know, knowing that he's a strong guy, he's got a strong will, he's got a great brother, and you know, he can survive this, I believe. You know, so, but we all need to help. This is a call for help, you know, and yeah, we want to support you on that, Steve.
So send your prayers and your money.
Prayers and money, yes.
Thank you so much for being with us again
today. Thank you so much.
Always our joy.
And thank you for joining us on Transition Radio Show, where you can find all of our shows at transitionradioshow.com. We're also on 14 podcast platforms. We're on Blog Talk Radio, iHeartRadio, and Facebook and Twitter and much more. Hope to that you'll tweet us and like us and let all your friends know about us. Thanks so much for joining us.
See you next week. Stay tuned.